Hey guys, today's episode with Tennessee Titans Pro Bowler Kevin Byard is a great one, and it's coming up in just a second, and it's presented today by our friends at Compassion International. We need you to help join us in restoring what COVID-19 destroyed, and we're talking about urgent support needed for 70,000 children and their families in Compassion programs. Compassion International is a Christ-centered child sponsorship program helping to release kids from poverty in Jesus' name. You can join us in helping to release 70,000 kids and their families from poverty with Compassion International. Essential food, nutritional supplements, hygiene essentials, medical screenings for COVID-19. This is what your giving goes towards in helping these families and their kids in crisis. This is a stadium now that cannot remain empty. It's called Fill the Stadium because it's 70,000 kids, which is the average size of a pro football stadium. Help provide essential food and medical care and support for a child and their family during this ongoing pandemic and restore what COVID-19 destroyed. Check out fillthestadium.com to donate and help us in releasing these kids from poverty in Jesus' name. fillthestadium.com.
This is the Sports Spectrum Podcast, where faith and sports intersect. Now let's bring in our host, former ESPN producer, Jason Romano.
And welcome to the show, everyone. I am Jason Romano, and this is the Sports Spectrum Podcast. Make sure you go to our website, sportspectrum.com, for all of our content, devotionals, podcasts, articles, updated every day. It's all for free at sportspectrum.com. And when you're there, click that subscribe button at the top. You put your email in, it takes you 5 seconds. You subscribe to our Sports Spectrum weekly newsletter. It's a free newsletter that comes to your email inbox once a week and updates you on all that we have going on here at Sports Spectrum. And when you do that, we have a little gift for you, a 10-day daily devotional that will help you in your walk with the Lord. And this devotional is written by the professional athletes themselves. And you can sign up again for free at sportspectrum.com and click that newsletter icon at the top, and you are good to go at sportspectrum.com. We have a great conversation today with Tennessee Titans safety Kevin Byard. He was selected in the third round of the 2016 NFL draft by the Titans out of Middle Tennessee State. He's got that nickname, the mayor of Murfreesboro, as a nickname referencing his college town in Tennessee. He led the NFL in interceptions with 8 in 2017. He was named a Pro Bowler that year and a first-team All-Pro in the NFL. He has 18 career interceptions in 5 seasons and signed a 5-year contract extension with the Titans in July of 2019. And today, we bring Kevin Byard on the show, but we also welcome someone you may have heard of in the past who's been a part of Sports Spectrum's podcast, and that's Wesley Woodyard. Wesley was a 12-year NFL linebacker, 6 seasons with the Broncos, 6 seasons with the Titans. He was also Kevin Byard's teammate for 4 years in Tennessee, nicknamed the Lumberjack. Wesley joins us today, and he's going to do the majority of this conversation, of this interview with Kevin Byard. I'll sneak in a couple questions as well, but it's going to be great as Wesley Woodyard and myself talk to Kevin Byard, the Tennessee Titans safety, right now on Sports Spectrum. Today on the show, we get to welcome back a friend of ours. He is Wesley Woodyard, a longtime NFL linebacker, 12 years in the NFL, 6 with the Denver Broncos, 6 with the Tennessee Titans. He's called the Lumberjack, and he's back with us today. And he's going to be helping us out in a conversation with his former teammate, current Tennessee Titans safety, Kevin Byard. Kevin, welcome to Sports Spectrum, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself, man?
I'm great. And Wes, welcome back to Sports Spectrum, my friend. How you been?
I'm doing great, Jace, man. It's always good, of course, to get a chance to be on here talking with you. But more importantly, talking to Mr. Murfreesboro himself, the mayor of Murfreesboro, Mr. Tennessee Titan Kevin Byard, man. What's going on, brother? So good to
What's
see
up,
you,
brother.
Face. So good to see you in a good space. I know you're down in Texas training right now. How's everything going as far as just life right now for you?
Man, life is going great, man. Honestly, man, I'm super blessed. I have a great support system around me. Obviously, getting ready for the season. Training camp starts at the end of July. Feeling real good about the season and a really good, you know, good place mentally. You know, obviously going into the season last year, it was COVID and all this stuff, but, you know, times are very different right now. So I'm feeling real good. Just excited, man. Excited about life, excited about football, excited about family.
Yeah, man, that's good. So I know a lot of people always just see the interceptions or see the turnovers, but let's take a deeper look into it. Like, how does Kevin Byer spiritually get ready for the warfare of the season, I should say, for your body? Like, spiritually, mentally, how do you prepare for a season?
Yeah, man, obviously, you know, as a younger player, you don't really, I would say, think about the mental side and the spiritual side of the game. As far as for me, I would just speak for myself. I didn't really wasn't really locked in on my spiritual journey. It was everything with just football, football, football. But as you get older and, you know, things happen in life, my family's growing, you start to think about different things. Your perspective grows. And my spiritual walk has actually been, for everybody, it's definitely a long journey. It's been a slow walk. But obviously, having you in our locker room, especially as a rookie, you've been a great resource for me, not only just for football, but just spiritually, mentally, and everything, just helped me be a better player and a better person. It's been great, obviously. My spiritual journey started when I was younger. And as I got a little older, my parents ended up splitting, getting divorced. And I wasn't really, you know, going to church or anything like that. But obviously, once I got older and I got to the NFL, moved to Nashville, I always said I had to find a church. I actually started going to Mount Zion. Bishop Walker, I know you know who Bishop Walker is. Yeah, a great mentor for me. Yeah, great mentor for me. He's been helping me out a lot. But you know, it's an ongoing journey, man. That's life.
That's you brought up some good points there. Definitely some things that we want to go back and touch on too, but having godly counseling in your life, man, that's key. I know my last year in Tennessee, I lost one of my closest friends, being to him retiring, by the name of Derek Morgan, a guy that kept me straight in the locker room, that always fed me the right way I needed to be fed. And I used to admire yours and Logan Ryan's relationship. You guys worked out together. You guys trained together. So for those younger athletes, how important is it to find other men that want to go to a different level? I mean, go to the same level as you and put themselves on a different level than other people in the locker room. And how locked in does it take to be a man for your teammate in there with that accountability?
That's something I preach to the young guys now, just even the rookies that we have in our locker room. Spend some time with those guys. Just tell them, like, listen, one thing that I did when I first got drafted, and just the advice that I give to everybody, the first thing that I did when I got there, not only did I listen with my ears, but I listened with my eyes. One thing I did, I watched the older guys. I watched guys like you, Derek Morgan, Brian Arakpo, Jason McCourty, Jarrell Casey, all those guys. And I just watched everything they did, from your routines to the different things that you was focused on. And obviously, as a young player, you're thinking, I could just jump in and do what I need to do, and it's just easy. But as you watch the older guys, you watch the guys that have the longevity in the league. I just paid attention to, how you treated your family. All you guys were family men. And that's something that was really big to me in my personal journey, was, you know, being a family man. I'm married, been married going on 3 years. It's been a beautiful thing. Like I said, just having those guys that you can latch on to. You spoke on Logan Ryan. Logan Ryan was a veteran they brought in during my second year. A guy that kind of showed me the way, showed me how to work. All you guys showed me how to work. But obviously him being a DB room, showed me how to work, showed me how to be a leader, showed me how to, you know, bring the younger guys along. As being an older veteran, you obviously know how it goes. You need the younger guys to bring along, to kind of, you know, usher in the next generation. And he was very helpful with that. So, I mean, like I said, all you guys was a great resource for me.
Man, I'm telling you, we knew you were going to be special from the day you came into that locker room, though, KB. It's different rookies that you see, the ones that come in, they're blown away. This is the NFL lifestyle, partying, having fun, doing whatever. You came in, like you said, you soaked up as much knowledge from not only the DBs, but from the linebackers, from the rush ends. And I think that's why you mature so much in your football walk, you know, because you came along so fast. I remember posting an Instagram picture of me and you. It was after you made a big play, got off the field on fourth down, and I said, the rookie and the vet. And now look at you, bro. Like, you're the vet that's coming, that everybody comes into the locker room. So for those young guys coming into the locker room, what would be some advice that you would give them?
I mean, like I said before, man, really latching on to those older guys, really watching and paying attention to the things that they do, right? If it's the diet, how they take care of their body all on and off the field, just the mental side of the game. Because as a young player, like, you know how it is, man. When you're in your first couple years in the league, guys don't really have a pre-practice routine. Guys just going out there. As soon as the whistle blow, they just hit the ground running. And like I said, man, I looked at the guys that had the longevity, and I just really locked in and paid attention to those things. And I think that's the biggest thing. I mean, we all think football is just a physical sport, but it's so much more mental than it is physical. So I think, you know, mental health is a big thing right now, and just not only in football, but just all around the country, all around the world. I think, and make sure you're taking care of your mental, because you know how it is for those rookies, man. They get to about October, November, then that rookie wall start coming in. Those guys getting ready for their bowl games and stuff like that, man. It's a long season, so you got to take care of your body. You got to take care of your mental. All those things are highly important.
It's key, man. A lot of guys come in and you could just tell, like, they don't have that advice. Like you said, me too. I think it's important that everybody understands, like, you have to, not necessarily you have to, but most Christians, most guys who have a strong relationship with God, they all find themselves at that turning point in their lives. Like you said, yours was with when your parents got divorced. You had to find, you know, a different avenue to pour into. You had to find a church. Myself was, I had a new coach that came in that was just being, you know, wouldn't let me see the field. So I had to find myself inside that locker room searching for God, just searching for different people to pour into my life. So, man, I continue to ask that you could do those things in the locker room, because it's big, man. Your voice, not only on the football field, goes so long, but your spiritual voice goes a long way. And I know you kind of got a cheat code inside of your locker room with my guy named Mitch, man. Just, you know, how important is it for younger guys or guys to go into new teams to reach out to their team chaplains and talk to those guys as well?
Man, I think it's huge, man. Honestly, man, I'm great friends with Mitch, man. He actually comes to my house. We hang out all the time. His wife knows my wife. And I would even just brag on, honestly, because when I was a younger player, and, you know, obviously on Fridays, Friday mornings, we used to have soul food. Yeah. Soul food. Honestly, man, soul food.
So wait. Let me pause you right quick. So yeah, soul food for everybody out there is realness. It's when brothers meet brothers, iron sharpen iron. We have Bible studies before we go to the hotel on Friday. And it's like soul food. Like, this is what your body needs to survive. So go ahead, Kevin. Sorry.
Nah, honestly, man, soul food, honestly, as part of my spiritual journey, was probably the biggest thing that I needed for me. Because it's funny, because even you used to tell me, you know, we have a soul food this morning. You come to soul food. You know, you'd be rushing there. You get in the facility, you get your breakfast. You come in there, you kind of eat your food in there. But honestly, just those discussions we used to have, the topics that we used to talk about, and everybody was just so open and candid about the experiences that they were dealing with, even at the time now, stuff that they went through, you know, growing up. I mean, those type of things really opened my mind up, because I think that the most important thing about having a spiritual journey, and you kind of mentioned it before, is having a brotherhood. Because at the end of the day, you cannot walk this journey alone. You know, you're going to need guys that can hold you accountable, guys that you can really reach out to when it comes to things that you're dealing with. And just having those open conversations kind of opened my mind up to a lot of different things, because you may be dealing with something and not even realizing the guy in a couple lockers next to you could be dealing with the same exact things, and those type of things can help you. It's almost like therapy. And that's kind of looked at it. But like you said, man, my guy Mitch, he's definitely a cheat code, because, you know, me having conversations with him, he's worked with a couple of different teams in the league. And he's told me, you know, and that's me giving credit to Tennessee Titans, because a lot of teams don't invest in that spiritual relationship with God and that spiritual journey that the Tennessee Titans do. I mean, we have so much access to Mitch. I mean, you know, his office is literally right by the cafeteria. So you see him every single day. So you can sit there and have great conversations with him. I mean, the guy, he's amazing, man. He's amazing.
So to all the NFL execs, everybody that's out there listening, it's important that you guys buy into your team chaplains and make them first in that building, because, like Kevin said, man, that brotherhood makes everybody stronger. So, Kevin, before we continue on with the interview, let's lighten things up, because I know it's getting hot in Texas. So I got a couple quick questions I'm gonna shoot to you. You just answer which one it is. So we'll start off first. Let's see, would you rather lead the team with 20 tackles, a win, and a touchdown, or get 3 interceptions and a dub?
Whew, that's tough, man. See, so you know, I haven't even scored my first touchdown in the league yet.
Okay.
But I mean, we're both talking about wins, so either or is both a win-win. But you know me, man, I like getting interceptions, dog. But you know, it's funny because I've actually accomplished that already in my career. I had 3 picks against Cleveland in 2017 with the dub. You know, I got the game ball in the game. It was a special moment. If I could relive that again, I mean, I would definitely choose that every single time. That was an incredible moment.
I already knew you were gonna give it. Don't go with the interceptions. Like
had to.
I've only seen 2 people with ball skills like you in practice and in a game. That's Champ Bailey and Brian Dawkins. You 3 guys always found the ball. But okay, beaches
that's
or mountains?
That's 2 Hall of Famers right there. All right, say it again.
Beaches or mountains?
Oh man, I'm a big beach guy. I mean, obviously, you know, most trips that me and my wife have taken has been, you know, beach locations. But you know, I'm really, really trying to get into like going to the mountains, man. I know my guy Will Compton just got married up in I think it was Montana, and
yes,
I'm seeing the pictures, bro. I'm seeing the pictures, just the backdrop. It almost looks fake, you know what I'm saying? Like how beautiful it looks. And I'm really thinking about taking a trip, man. Either Montana, Wyoming, wherever I can go, man. Go do some hiking. But I would say beach for right now, but I'm definitely gonna try to. Man, I want to touch the whole world, man. I want to touch every continent, man. So I want to be able to go hiking, skiing, all that good stuff, man. I'm all about those experiences.
I'm telling you, man, you got to get out in that wilderness. You're going to really see, like, God's true grace to the world. Like, it's just too beautiful.
Real talk. Real talk.
One more question. One more quick one. $1 million or 1 million followers?
Whew, I was just having a discussion not too long ago. You know, it's crazy because, I mean, I would – obviously, $1 million is $1 million. You know what I'm saying? But with the way the world is going right now, with everything going digital – with everything being, you know, social media, I mean, 1 million followers, man, is more like, it's more about equity. It's more about long-term. Because with 1 million followers, man, you can monetize that forever. You know, I just had a discussion with somebody where somebody asked me, would you rather have a nice Mercedes or 2 million followers on Instagram? I mean, I would take the 2 million followers on Instagram every single time because that's just more about longevity for me. $1 million can, you know, it can go away at any moment if you're not responsible with it. So, honestly, me personally, I'd take the 1 million followers.
Let's take a quick break from our conversation here on Sports Spectrum to tell you a little bit more about our friends at Compassion International, releasing children from poverty in Jesus' name. They are the most trusted child development ministry in the world, and it's a company and an organization and a partner of Sports Spectrum that we value so much. And the work that they do, when I tell you how important it is, I'm not sugarcoating it here. It's incredibly important work, releasing kids from poverty, but doing it in Jesus' name, teaching these kids who are stuck in really dire situations about how they can accept Christ and have a relationship with Jesus. That's the most important thing, but they do it with compassion and through compassion's programs. Now, due to COVID-19, 70,000 kids last year and their families in compassion programs were stuck potentially without a sponsorship and are in need of your urgent support. Now, 70,000 is the capacity of the average pro football stadium. And since we've launched Fill the Stadium and their compassion program a year and a half ago, we've seen almost 58,000 seats filled with Compassion's program. You guys have come through. I'm telling you, every seat representing a child in need, and we're close to 60,000 seats. So our goal is very much in reach of helping 70,000 kids and their families, but we're not there yet. So we need your help. It's almost to the end, but we have to keep pushing here to help these kids. There's still 10,000 children out there who need your help. Your help providing essential food and medical care and support for a child and their family during this ongoing pandemic. Help restore what COVID-19 destroyed by going to fillthestadium.com and donating today. Any amount helps. Fillthestadium.com. This is a stadium that cannot remain empty. Fillthestadium.com. He is Kevin Byard from the Tennessee Titans. That voice you heard was Wesley Woodyard talking to Kevin. It's here on Sports Spectrum. Kevin, I want to ask you a question. You mentioned about your spiritual journey, kind of growing closer to the Lord as you got older. Was there a moment when you said yes to Christ? Was there a moment where you just said, I'm going to start this journey, and then you grow in it? You know, it's a walk. Like you said, it's not a sprint. It's a marathon in this walk. Absolutely. With the Lord. But was there a moment where you said yes and you started that journey?
Yeah, so it was crazy. Going into my senior year at Middle Tennessee, I had my roommate, one of my closest friends still to this day, his name is Pat McNeil. He's a defensive lineman at the time. And we was living in the same apartment. And, you know, in the summertime in Middle Tennessee, in Murfreesboro, which a lot of people don't know, there's literally nothing to do. It's boring. We're just in the middle of summer training and stuff like that. And he was already going through his own spiritual journey. And at this time, you know, obviously being in college, being at Middle, you know, it wasn't like I was a guaranteed lock to go to the NFL or get drafted higher or whatever. But I was kind of in a limbo as far as my spiritual journey. I had a lot of questions, had a lot of different things I didn't really understand. And he, being my roommate, being a close friend with me, you know, he used to ask me a lot of questions because he was going through his own spiritual journey. He would be sitting in his house reading the Bible a lot. We're sitting in our apartment reading the Bible a lot. And he started asking me different questions about myself and about things that I believed in. And he said, "Listen, bro, how about taking this spiritual journey with me?" I'm like, "Okay, cool." Like at the time, I'm like, "Okay, cool." I mean, we're just sitting here. We're not doing anything else. So we literally sit at the house and we'll watch different videos on YouTube or whatever. But we will sit here and read the Bible. Like literally take out highlighters and everything. We was really going through the Bible, like really studying it. And we had a lot of questions. I mean, we had another guy on our team. We used to literally be three or four, but sitting in the living room, having conversations, having deep talks. And I've been through a lot of things, you know, through my childhood when it comes to poverty. Like I said, my family getting divorced, a lot of different things that I had going on. And we were literally sitting in the living room. And this is me being candid about it. We're sitting in the living room having conversations, and we guys would be tearing up. I mean, it would get so real, so deep. And you know, that summer, I think when I say this is like summer 2015, I really said, "I want to take this walk with Christ." And, you know, we actually drove up to some mountains in Tennessee, probably about 30 minutes away from my school. And we found some natural water, a waterfall. And I had a couple of us. Honestly, it was like three or four of us. Obviously, my brother, he was taking a spiritual journey. And I wanted to get baptized. You know what I'm saying? I got baptized in the water. And honestly, that was the first time that I said that, you know, I said yes to Christ. And ever since then, it's been a journey, obviously. It's a long walk, but at the same time, ever since then, I've accepted Christ into my life.
That's a great story, isn't it, Wes?
That's an amazing story. I'm telling you, it takes that special somebody to come into your life to mold you and to help show you the way, man. That's amazing, and it's a lot of stuff that conversation needs to be held throughout the world, throughout the NFL locker rooms. You know, a lot of times we get it. All we talk about is the fun stuff, but people don't really know that being a Christian, loving God, loving Jesus, is even more exciting and way more fun than anything. So, you know, a lot of times things gets lost in the translation. So, for those kids, I know me. Like, I wanted to position myself around again. We all say the same thing, me and you. We want to learn from the greats. We want to learn from everybody else. So, how important is it to pour into our wives, man? Let's talk about Clark for a second, man. Let's talk about your
Absolutely.
family. Let's talk Those are the things that excite you right there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny because Clark, she actually grew up in the church, you know. She grew up going to church as, you know, young. Her grandfather, who she pretty much grew up with and lived with at a young age, he was a chaplain. He was in the army. He served. I don't want to butcher anything, but I know he served a long time. He's a veteran. He ended up passing away some years ago, but he was a chaplain in the army. I mean, the guy was a real spiritual guy. Clark talked to me all the time about, I mean, just his routine, how he carried himself, how he treated his family. I mean, it was just incredible. And I mean, I can only try to live up to be the type of guy that he was to take care of his granddaughter. But I mean, he was just an incredible guy. So she grew up in the church, and she always used to try to, you know, kind of get me to walk with Christ. But I always feel like, you know, when you're talking about this spiritual journey, you know, sometimes you can want something for somebody, but it's going to take for them to have to take that step forward and say that they're going to walk. And you know, as me and Clark got married, and obviously you're talking about, you know, having a family, planning to have families. That's one of the main things I always was thinking about. Well, what do I want to give to my children? Because, you know, the NFL, you live a great life, you make a little bit of money, you can pass that down. But what type of knowledge do I want to pass down to my kids? How am I going to raise them? What type of principles am I going to raise them with? And I mean, just like you said, man, you want to learn from the greats. What better person to learn from than Jesus Christ? You know what I'm saying? Like,
Amen.
what real talk, like, what better person to try to walk in life or try to live your life than Jesus Christ? So, you know, that just made it all more motivating for me to say, hey, you know what I'm saying? Take these principles, read the Bible, really make sure you're doing your daily devotions and things like that, because those type of, I don't want to say they're investments, but those type of things that you do every single day can really affect, you know, your entire family's, you know, upbringing. It can affect your entire family's, you know, the way that we live. And, you know, we always, you know, I spent a lot of time investing in football, my body and all that stuff, but I had to invest in my family, invest in my spiritual journey.
Yeah. Hey, man, it's Wesley Woodyard here. We're on the Sports Spectrum podcast with my great friend, Kevin Byer, Jason Romano in the place. We're over here talking about faith, family, and football, being equally yoked with our wives. Kevin, I'm going to put you on the spot again. So 10 years from now, when your kids are watching this podcast, I want you to give them a 10 to 15 quick second advice to overcome the obstacles that you face or that they may possibly face. So here you go.
You put me on the spot for sure. I would just say, man, when any type of adversity I ever faced in my life, you know, I always just tack it head on. You know, when you're going through anything in life, obviously things can get challenging, but at the same time, adversities makes a man stronger. You know, don't look at anything a loss, or don't look at anything bad as a loss. It's always a lesson. You can always learn from different things that you may go through in life. You know, as a youngster, as a young child, you know, things that I may went through when I was younger, I always used to ask questions, why am I going through this? Or kind of had a negative mindset towards it. But now that I'm older, I realized that if I wouldn't have went through those things, I wouldn't be the man who I am today. So I take everything that I ever go through as a lesson and not a loss, you know?
Hey, man, that's key. I always found that resilience in athletes to be spectacular in most cases for some athletes. How are you spiritually dealing with those downfalls or those shortcomings in a career like yours? Because in the NFL, you're not allowed to celebrate those victories. You're not allowed to be sad about those losses. But when those ups and those downs, what keeps you level-headed?
Just like you said, just leaning on Christ, honestly, because I feel as though everybody in everybody's career, you can speak on it. You know, it's going to be ups and downs. You know, it's not always going to be highs. It's not even going to be all lows. You know, you have to stay evenly balanced, evenly keeled. And one thing that I've learned is that the only way that you can able to stay evenly keeled is leaning on Christ and understanding that football is not the end all be all. You know, scoring touchdowns or catching interceptions or making big tackles and doing the lumberjack celebration, you know, eventually all that, you know, real talk, and eventually all that will eventually fade. But the thing that's going to be there and it's going to be constant is your spiritual journey with Christ. And that's something that you're going to be doing until, you know, we eventually pass on to the next life, you know, and that's kind of how I take it. You know, we all go through ups and downs in football, man. But the only thing that will keep you spiritually or just mentally and physically just balanced is understanding and having that relationship with Christ. And I think that's something that's helped me out in my career for sure, especially, you know, the past couple of years.
Kevin, let me jump in real quick because I got to hear, and I know Wes won't ask this, but I got to hear your favorite Wesley Woodyard story that you can share, remembering that this is a rated PG show, but not that you have a rated R version of Wes Woodyard.
Right.
I would love to hear your favorite Wes Woodyard story, whether it's on the field, maybe behind the scenes. And then Wes, I'm going to ask you to tell your favorite Kevin Byard story.
Okay.
Oh man. It's funny because I wouldn't say I have, you know, one particular story.
Okay.
But just for me, just the memories of Wesley being in the locker room, you know, Wesley being in the meeting rooms. So it's funny, which I don't know, most guys might not know, is that obviously Wesley played 12 years, but 11 out of those 12 years, Wesley was a team captain. And I just remember when I was first drafted and they used to tell me like, Wesley's been a team captain. I'm thinking in my head, like, how is he a team captain? You know, how is he a team captain his second year in the league? And obviously it was because special teams and the amount of leadership and the type of guy that he was being a captain. So I just remember being in special teams meeting. And obviously I'm a young player. And when I was in college, I didn't play any special teams. It was like, you know, that was something that, you know, we don't play special teams. I'm a top guy on the team. So I'm just sitting in the meetings and I'm writing down my notes. And I just remember days where Wesley would literally get in front of the whole team and speak about how important special teams was. Or he would just speak to the young guys like, why don't you have your notes out? Why aren't you taking notes? Like, really take this serious. And I just kind of looked at that like, man, this guy's incredible. Like, I've never heard anybody, not even a coach, speak on how highly important special teams was. And it didn't really dawn on me, obviously, until I got a couple years in the league. But just those type of small little stories about just Wesley being the leader that he was, being the guy that he was. I mean, he was always one of the funniest, if not the funniest guy in the locker room. I mean, I don't want to bring up all the funny stuff that he's done, but he's always been a funny guy, charismatic guy. I mean, just a great guy overall, man. Honestly, one of the best. And I told this to Wesley, I think the last game that he played when he was about to be a free agent, I think this was a year ago, 2 years ago, I told him, like, Wesley, you're one of the best, if not the best teammates I've ever had. And I had to tell him that personally because I want him to know that, because you really are one of not – you're probably the best teammate I've ever had, any level playing football, man. Just incredible guy. And it's funny, I even remember him inviting me out when I made it to the Pro Bowl my second year. He invited me out to his house, invited me out. He was on the boat, riding around, seeing different houses down there in Orlando. Man, those are just memories that I'm always going to remember for the rest of my life.
That's really good. Right. I remember that last game too, Wes. That was the game against the AFC Championship game against the Chiefs, right?
That's exactly what it was. Yep. Yeah.
That was it. That you're bringing up some old hurtful memories right there.
Sure, man.
But I can say, man, like Kevin said, I have a lot of memories that are just balled up of nothing but joy about KB. But I can say, let's go back to that special teams meeting he was referring to. And we joked so much with KB about being the highest paid PP in the NFL. That's our personal protector to our punter, Brett Kern, another great brother in Christ. But special teams is not for the guys who start, or special team is not for those guys that have the big head. But Kevin was in every special teams meeting, every punt meeting, even to the point where we no longer needed him to play special teams anymore. He was still in the meeting. So I'd be like, KB, get out, bro. We don't need you. Go go do DB stuff. But I can definitely say, man, I think those first games, his rookie year, his first few years, definitely when he took a sack away from me versus Aaron Rodgers, that was something that I remember.
That was my first sack.
So I remember his first sack a lot, because that was one that he snatched out of my fingertips. But man, I could definitely say, KB, man, from a start, you have been a joy to be around. It's fun to know that you're a brother in Christ with me. We're on the same journey. We're iron. I'm a piece of iron. You're a piece of iron. We're going to sharpen each other over the years. And I can say that I used to tell our friend Darren Bates this, man, like, you're a lifer. You're a friend for life. Like, you're a guy that I'm going to care about. I'm going to care about your friends. So I think all of those memories that we built over the years are not only for us, but they're for the guys that's coming in the future. So now when guys are coming into the building, they don't have to look at a Wesley anymore for guidance. They're looking at a Kevin Byer for their advice. Kevin, where should I be on a Friday? Come to Soul Food. Kevin, what should I be doing the night before the game? Coming to Bible study. Hey, Kevin, how do you love your wife so much? Bro, it's because I pray. So
absolutely.
It's just like those moments, man, that I cherish forever, and I'm glad that you cherish it, because most guys, you know, they don't understand that. They don't pick it up. And again, that's why you've been so humble. That's why you're such a great man in Christ, because you understand those hardships in life make you better and make you become a better man.
Kevin, let me close with this as we wind down here. It's a question that I ask all of our guests on Sports Spectrum. I asked Wes this when he was on. Today, as you sit here and we're getting ready for another season, and we could talk so much about expectations and, you know, hoping that this is the year that the Titans, you know, make it to the Super Bowl and all that. But I want to ask you what God is teaching you, because he teaches us something new every day, right? Today, as we sit here and we record this before the season starts, what do you feel like the Lord is showing you and teaching you?
Wow, that's a great question. Honestly, you know, being in the NFL, being a pro football player, you get so caught up on, you know, what man thinks about you. You know, after the game, you're checking on Twitter. What are they saying? Did they talk about my big play, or are they talking trash about me because I didn't make this play or whatever? I think that God is trying to teach me that don't get caught up on what man thinks about you. It's all about what I think about you, and that's the most important opinion that you can take from anything that you do in life. And I think that's something he's starting to really shift my mind into, where I don't really care about, you know, what the media is saying, or care about, you know, just anything. The only thing that I'm trying to do is better myself as a man and as a player. And I think that me better myself as a man is going to make me better as a player and make me better as a husband and make me better as a father. Those are way more important than anything, honestly. And so I think that's what God is trying to teach me into this new phase of my life. Is that it's all about being a better man. And don't get caught up on what man has to say about you. The most important opinion is God.
Hey, KB, man, continue to keep doing great things within the community. Go get another Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. But most importantly, my brother, stay humble, stay on your knees praying, and just continue to grasp that team with your wings of guidance, man, because they're only going to go as far as you go. And that guidance that you're getting is from the Lord above, man. So you continue to be a strong guidance and a strong courage. I mean, have strong courage in that locker room, because I know it's nothing tougher than that NFL locker room. So my brother, be strong, be safe. I love you, and continue to keep balling out. Keep God first.
Absolutely, brother. Amen, brother. I appreciate you, like always.
And many thanks to Kevin Byard from the Tennessee Titans, the Pro Bowl safety, for joining us here today on Sports Spectrum. We also appreciate Wesley Woodyard for helping us out today and serving as a co-host with myself and talking to Kevin. And of course, Wesley and Kevin played for 4 years together with the Titans from 2016 to 2019. And I like bringing Wesley on. He's really good because there's such a unique, I don't know, a dynamic or a connection, I think, that athletes have when they talk to other athletes, especially when they're former teammates. And that's why I thought for this interview, it'd be great to have Wesley on, Wesley Woodyard, co-host with myself, and talk to Kevin. And really, I just tried to stay out of it. I jumped in a couple times to ask a few questions, but really, this was a Wesley Woodyard, Kevin Byard conversation, and I just kind of wanted to be in the room and listening to it. I hope you guys enjoyed it as well. And it's getting us excited here at Sports Spectrum because the NFL is right around the corner. Another season is upon us, and it's my favorite time of year, the fall and football, and just thinking about who Jesus is and thinking about the fact that so many NFL players and even college football players love the Lord and want to use this platform of professional football and college football to point people to Christ. So I get excited about that. I'll be sitting on the couch watching games as well, and I'm just excited because football is back. And so is the Sports Spectrum podcast next time with a brand new episode here on the show. Make sure you, again, check out our Sports Spectrum website, sportsspectrum.com, for all of our content. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can get that at sportsspectrum.com, and you get a 10-day daily devotional written by professional athletes for free right to your inbox when you sign up for our Sports Spectrum weekly email. It's free, the newsletter, right there at sportsspectrum.com. Thanks for tuning in to today's show. My name is Jason Romano. This is the Sports Spectrum Podcast, and tune in next time for another episode. Thanks for joining us, and have a great rest of your day.